بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل، اللهم بارك لنا في جمعنا هذا وجعلها جمعا مرحومة يا رب العالمين، وجعل التفرق بعدها تفرقا معصوما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا. Welcome back for part two of today's class on the finance in Islamic law. And we pray that Allah bless our gathering tonight and make it beneficial. We have about 20 minutes left, inshallah. A couple of things that I forgot to mention or we didn't get to talk about in the previous session. We were talking about how Islamic finance is different than secular or capitalistic principles. One of the things that we find in Islam is that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Rahim Allahu imra'an samhan idha ba'a wa samhan idha ishtara." May Allah have mercy on the man or the woman who is lenient and flexible when they buy and when they sell, and when they ask for the loan back, and when they ask for the loan back. So here we have the concept of rahma in Islamic economics, the concept of kindness. And that in Islamic law, justice is very important, that buying and selling should be just and fair between the parties, and each should not be exploited. And in addition to that, a higher level is we have ihsan. And ihsan means wishing well for others, and being fair, not taking advantage of others. And this higher level of rahma, mercy, if somebody is not able to pay the full price, you lower the price for him. If somebody pays more, if somebody gives him a loan, and he pays it back eagerly, he doesn't deliberately delay paying back the loan. And it is right, it is possible in Islamic law for the judge to intercede. If somebody doesn't pay back the loan, there's no interest. So what is the accountability? What's to make him accountable? The judge can intercede, and he can force that person to pay back or take the collateral and liquidate it, or he can declare bankruptcy and deal with that. That's also part of Islamic law. And that's also a mercy in Islamic law. So yes, there's the forgiveness on the part of the lender, but also that Allah has told us that the best of you are those who return your debts in the best way. So one should try to their best to return the debts in the best way. Another issue, and this has to do with like student loans. If you have a student loan and it has interest on it, should we pay back the interest?
You should, but they don't take it that way.
You shouldn't?
You should.
You should pay interest on your loan?
No, I mean, you're going to have it, because as a student, I got suckered in taking a unsubsidized and a subsidized loan.
Yes.
Not knowing the difference.
Yes.
I said you can take both, which I did.
I see, yes.
The unsubsidized is with the interest.
Yes.
So when I got a forgiveness note, I went to pay for the interest.
Yes.
Mailman says it don't work that way.
Oh, I see.
So yes.
The question comes up. The question is, I think one of the biggest questions right now is, I already have a loan. I already took the loan. What do I do now? The loan has interest on it, like you said. They didn't tell you, or you didn't realize, or you maybe didn't know it was haram. And you have an interest-based loan. So here, the scholars, they say that a person can repent from that. And whatever interest was on that loan, it should be cancelled out. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the riba of jahiliyyah is cancelled out on his last khutbah. Which means that the capital we have to pay back. It has to be given back, the amount that we took. But anything in addition to that, it is haram and it is cancelled out. But now the issue comes up, what if you're not you can try to get out of it. You can ask for forgiveness and say this is against my religion. You can, but if you're forced to pay that interest, you will not be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we make the repentance from that I repent from taking riba, from paying riba, and when you give that riba, you say you don't, you feel that this is something that you repent about. You don't want to do that willfully, but they're forcing you to do that. Then you can do that because it's beyond your means. If you don't do that, they might harm you. But if you can find some way out of it, if there's a way you can get out of it, then that would be the best. If you can avoid paying it, that would be what is right. However, you cannot keep the interest that was due on the loan for yourself. This is an interesting ruling. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person who has a loan that has interest on it, when the interest is cancelled, he said he shouldn't benefit twice. Meaning that if he got the benefit of the loan and now he gets the interest for free, he said no, the money that he would have given in interest, he should give it away in charity. This is a way of compensating that interest should be given away to somebody in charity instead of giving it back to the lender who gave it to him. There's a hadith about that. In order to make it fair, you know, that a person doesn't purposely take interest-bearing loans knowing that in the end I'm not going to pay the interest. But to make it fair, that they should give that amount in charity. Yeah. Yes.
Because you borrowed it from some bank or
right,
Sally
right.
Mae or Mailman, all the
yes,
people.
Yes.
They don't care.
Yes.
They want, like I said, you're taking unsubsidized loans, you're getting this money, and it's interest on it.
Yes, yes.
And
you try it, yes,
they,
yes.
You know, and they put it together. So when you're paying your loan back, you're paying, but you don't know if you're paying. You are paying something towards the interest, but it seems like the interest never goes away.
Yeah, the interest is whatever you took for your college. You calculate how much you took from them for college, and you pay back that amount. Whatever is left in the end that they say you still owe, that's interest. You see? So if your college cost you $20,000, you pay them back $20,000. Whatever is whatever more they say you still owe, that is not allowed. That's haram. You can ask for forgiveness. You can say it's against your religion. You try to get some way out of it. And if yes.
When you do your taxes, they'll snatch up your taxes.
Right. That's the thing. That if they're going to penalize you or force you by court to pay it back, then it's beyond your means. You're not doing it willfully. And inshallah, Allah will not hold you to account if you make repentance for that. Inshallah. Yes.
So if you were to say, "Oh, if I was going to pay interest," like, would that be like a false thing? And then, like, your credit score will go bad. So if, like, in the future you want to, like, buy a house, then a bank wouldn't pay for you because they know your credit score is bad, and they wouldn't pay them back.
Right, but why would you buy a house from a bank? I'm interested.
I mean, you know,
yes, yes. If you want to make repentance, that means there's three conditions for repentance. One, it's past, present, and future. Past means that you regret what happened in the past. I did something haram. I took something haram, or I did something haram. I regret what happened in the past. The present, you stop doing it completely. You don't do it, continue doing it and say, I'm repenting. Somebody, he smokes, and he says, I'm going to repent from smoking. But he still smokes every day a cigarette. The repentance is not sincere. It's not accepted. And third, he has to, or she has to, have the firm resolve never to do it again in the future. So if somebody, they did have a loan that was based on interest, they have to say, in the future, I'm not going to keep doing this anymore. I'm not going to go back to it again. When they have those three conditions, then Allah will completely wipe away the sin. The person will be washed away as if they had no sin. Those three conditions have to be met. The past, present, and future. And some ulama, they add another condition, which is that if it's the right of another human being, like we took their money, we have to give it back. If we backbited somebody, we have to ask their forgiveness. Or if we, we have some, some right of another, we have to give it back to them, inshallah. Yes.
So, if you have to take a loan, the best thing, because I told my daughter the same thing, I got stuck with an unsubsidized. If you're going to take a loan, take subsidized, because what you take is what you pay back.
That's right, that's right. The subsidized loan is allowed, the grants are allowed, scholarships are allowed, and, taking... You might say, how am I going to pay for college? This is, the issue here is that a person is going to have to sacrifice some. We will always have to sacrifice. To please Allah, you're going to have to sacrifice. Being a Muslim, to make Allah happy, you have to sacrifice. Prayer is not easy. Getting up in the morning and praying, you have to sacrifice time, your sleep. It's the most beloved thing to you at that moment. You wake up, you wash yourself, you make wudu, you stand in front of Allah. You're sacrificing your dunya, your comfort. You have to give up some level of comfort to make Allah happy. But if you look at the greatest people that ever lived, the greatest heroes of Islam, every one of them, you find in their life, what made them so successful is that they were so sincere and they sacrificed for the sake of Allah. You will not achieve the high positions with Allah without giving up something, without sacrificing your dunya. And when the dunya and the akhirah, the afterlife, collide, we should always put the weight on the side of the afterlife. We should always give priority to our eternal life. So yes, you're going to have to give up something. You might not go to the most expensive or famous college. You might have to work an extra job. You might have to change your career plans. Maybe you're not going to be able to, but all of that is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for, again, we have to go take it back to the question, what is the purpose of my existence? Why am I here in this world? Am I here just to earn money? Is that the purpose of my life? Am I here just to eat and drink? Animals, they eat and drink. What is my purpose? Allah says, we did not create man and jinn except to worship Allah, except to worship Him. The purpose of our life is to fulfill, to get to worship Allah. That's why we're in this world. And we're all going to die one day. So put that in our minds, that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, whoever puts the afterlife as his or her priority, then Allah will make all of their affairs come together. And He will put the richness in his heart, and the dunya will still come to him or her in spite of that. And whoever makes the dunya their goal, then Allah will put their poverty between their eyes. And He will make all their affairs separate, and they will only get of the dunya what is written for them. That's all that's going to come. You're not going to get more than what is already written for us. So it's very important that we always keep that big picture in mind. Why am I here in this world? What do I want to achieve? Do I want to just enjoy this life and when I go to my grave, I just had a luxurious life? Or do I want to achieve some lasting reward with Allah, some very great reward in the afterlife? Look at Khadija, the greatest donor in Islam, the one who spent the most money in Islam. They say it was Khadija. She was so wealthy. When the Prophet ﷺ, she got married to the Prophet ﷺ, she had a huge amount of wealth. She was a very wealthy business lady. She inherited some. She was widowed before. And when the time she died, she had spent everything for the sake of Islam. Everything for supporting the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba, they did the same. They sacrificed. So that is something that we have to do in order to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be willing to do that, inshaAllah. And inshaAllah, there's a great reward awaiting the young people especially. You're young and you have your whole lives ahead of you. You can earn so much reward. If you choose, you make your life one of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much reward that you'll get with Allah. Allah will put you under His shade on the Day of Judgment. This is one of the basic things. A young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah will be under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah ta'ala. Yes, brother.
So you do a job where a certain percentage of your income is taken out for retirement.
Yes.
And the retirement account is interest paid.
Yes, yes. Okay, the IRA is just an investment. Like any other investment, depends on the company that you ask to do. You can ask your company, can you please invest this in a mutual fund? Mutual funds are stock-based, so there would be no interest on the mutual fund. That would be just regular, like investing in stocks. But you would have to negotiate that with your company. But and investment accounts, they're not always interest-based. There's also other ways of having your money invested for your retirement. So if you tell them, you know, they'll give you a choice. You know, sometimes they'll ask you, do you want to have it in bonds or, the what they would call fixed return, or do you want to have the, you know, in the mutual fund based, and it'll just be like investing in stocks, inshallah. Yes, any other questions, inshallah? Yes, brother.
I have a question. Yes. About mortgages.
Yes, brother. Hold on.
I hear some amount they said it's okay to get mortgage. I mean, I'm not saying it's like, say, if instead of renting, buying a house, and then, you know, get a mortgage or whatever. They said, like, you stay away from it. But if you have to, it's okay.
There is an opinion, I think, by Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi. He gave a leeway for Muslims living in the West for their first home, for if they're not able to, you know, he said that when there's a haja, a need, is living in a home, first of all, person, they have to ask themselves, is it really a darura to have a house? Can I save my money and buy a house? Can I rent? Can I borrow money from a Muslim? And this comes to a responsibility on us as a community, that we should have ways of pooling our funds and giving non-interest-based loans. The Jewish people do that. They give them loans to each other without interest. Our community, this is a collective responsibility. Instead of saying, first thing, go to the bank, we should try to, you know, develop Islamic banking, which we talked about earlier, murabaha, musharaka.
Is there any,
Yes.
Is there any Islamic bank in the United States?
That's a question you have to research. I gave you the principles behind it, and you have to look into them, because every bank is different, how they operate and so on, and there's some fiqh councils that discuss it. But there is a leeway out there, you know, but that's what Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi said. Other ulama, they say that one should avoid it, because riba is something that is so haram. It's the one thing that Allah has declared war against. And so they feel most of the scholars that I know of, most of the fiqh councils, they say it hasn't reached that level where, you know, it's like eating dead meat or eating pork or drinking alcohol in case of necessity. That's what darura is. So if it reaches that point where a person, he's not able to, get a house, his children will be on the street, he won't have a home, then there may be some leeway for that. But, you know, that would be, you know, a last resort. And now that we have Islamic banks, that would definitely be the right spirit, you know, to try to go through some of the Islamic banks that are offering the funding, inshallah. Allah knows best, inshallah. So there is that view, but it seems to be a very much a minority view, Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi and European Fiqh Council. But most of the other ulama studied the issue, and even here the Fiqh Councils in the US, AMJA, studied the issue, and they didn't feel that was, you know, a darura, that there's no other alternative. But Allah knows best. You know, person, they should see if they can find a halal alternative before going to that, inshallah. Khair, inshallah. Any other questions? Inshallah. Yes, brother.
You mentioned about the student loans.
Yes. Okay, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. How can a person get a loan in an Islamic way? We have something called tawarruq. In Islamic law, in Islamic finance, tawarruq. Tawarruq is a way of attaining money for something in a halal way. What is tawarruq? Tawarruq is when a person buys some property, and usually it's a commodity like gold, silver, it might be iron, it might be wheat, something that's on a market. A commodities are things that you easily trade in. So he'll buy it on installments. And then he sells it to somebody else for cash. Okay? Is this allowed in Islam?
How he bought it?
He bought it on installments. Say he bought the gold. No, you're not allowed to buy gold. Excuse me. Tawarruq is not gold and silver. I go back. I'll take that back. Tawarruq cannot be. You cannot buy gold on installments. Not allowed. It has to be cash transaction. But say they bought wheat. Or not even wheat. Let's go to iron. Let's say iron, for example. Some commodity other than the riba-based commodities. So you buy it on installments. I bought a ton of iron. And it's worth... I'm going to pay 10,000 in installments. Over. Now I take that iron and I resell it. I sell it to somebody else for cash. And he gives me 9,000. So I got now 9,000 cash. And I have to pay 10,000 on installments to somebody that I bought the iron from. Remember, there's no riba. These installments, he cannot charge you late fee, you know, or interest. So that's the way you can achieve capital in Islamic banking. You can get capital that way. You can. Is it clear? Does that picture? I don't know. Maybe should I explain it again? Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly what it is. It's halal. It's a halal way to do Islamic banking. And Islamic banks, they help you do this. Now, there's one condition here that the scholars say. You should not buy the item and sell it back to the same person you bought it from. So say you bought it from somebody like a ton of steel for installments for 10,000. Now I own the steel, right? Now I sell it back to the same person for 9,000 and he gives me cash for it. Is that allowed? Here the ulama say that is not allowed. It's called Aina. Aina is a kind of trick to do riba. So the other way is like business, but here you're not. It's like you don't even want to steal. It's just pretend. It's just in the middle. You're never going to even get the steal. Probably never see it or get the certificate for it. The bank just uses that as a trick. So the ulama say that way of doing tawarruq is not allowed. But if you do it the other way, you do it the way you buy it from one party and you sell it to somebody else, you can attain capital that way. You can get money for investing and other purposes in that way, inshallah.
So this way,
when
you buy something for 10,000, you need to pay back in installments.
Yes.
And then you sell it for 9,000.
Cash.
You still have 1,000 short. So how
do
you make money?
1,000?
1,000 short. Like.
Yeah. So now you have that 9,000. You can invest it in some. You can buy a business. You can buy goods. You can use that money now. It's capital to start your business with. And then maybe from that money, as the sister said, you make some profit. You'll pay the 10,000. You may make even more. So that's allowed. It's halal, inshallah. This is Islamic way of getting capital, inshallah. Any other questions? Inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your patience. I think we have time for one more question if you have. Anybody? Yes, brother.
Again,
yes, yes.
So what can I get, like, for example, a student? What?
How can you get a student loan?
Besides the riba.
Wallah, that's a good question. You know, like the sister said before, there's the subsidized loans. Those are 100% halal. You can request from your university to accommodate your religious beliefs. And I've done it personally, and other people. You tell them that I cannot take interest-based loans. Give me a job. Give me, you know, subsidized loans. Give me, you know, grants. And my own experience. And you know, subhanAllah, I told them, I said, I can't take these interest-based loans. They said, okay, we're going to give you a grant instead. SubhanAllah, you know, it was a mercy from Allah. So I ended up not having to pay anything after college.
Grant, as far as I understand, that you have to pay after, or some loans, you have to pay after you graduate, to pay interest. While you are in school,
yes, those are called non-subsidized loans.
Those non-subsidized?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the one you want to try to avoid. Try to find any other way, you know, help from your parents, from the community. Ask your school. can you help me? I want to go to your school, but I need help because religiously I'm not allowed to take interest. And they have other funds available. They can give you, you know, work, school work, working at school. They can give you grants, and they will sometimes, many times, they'll help you do that. But again, always remember the rule: مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you give something up, Allah will give you something better. You might say, you know, how am I going to graduate from college? Inshallah, you try. The halal means is more than enough, inshallah. Allah will help you to achieve what you want. And it's not always the way that we want. Sometimes Allah has a means for us, waiting for us. Inshallah ta'ala, we pray to Allah to give us all halal risk, and to, you know, make it easy for all of you. And bless you in your studies, inshallah, and your families. Any other questions? Sisters didn't ask any questions today. I feel bad. No questions from any of the sisters? Okay. Okay, we're all set for today. Jazakallah khairan. Next week there's a short exam. I don't want you to be scared so you don't come. It'll be a short exam, multiple choice, short essay, and we're going to have a talk, a little talk in the beginning about the hudud and the certificates. I'll try to have everybody here sign that the attendance sheet from last time. Did you all get emails? Everybody here get the emails? Anybody didn't get the email that I sent out? Okay, so then I should have all of your names, inshallah, for next week. So we pray that Allah reward, I ask Allah to reward all of you. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah accept from all of you. Barakallahu feek wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.